Please be seated. Oh, this is a moment for me. 25 years of ordained ministry, I never imagined I would receive an invitation to be here with you this morning. Truly, sincerely, this is a gift to me. So I was invited to come to be the leader for yesterday's Fontaine sermon event, where I spent the day talking with clergy about preaching in a divided culture, and we had some wonderful conversations. So thank you to all of the cathedral staff. I mean, the hospitality has been so incredibly gracious, and it has been nothing but a pleasure to be here. So I'm really happy to be with you today. So I am Lisa Cressman, and I am canonically resident in the Episcopal Church of Minnesota, but Houston, Texas has been home for me for the past 4 years. And down there I have developed a ministry called Backstory Preaching. And so my work is to work with preachers online. And so I work with Episcopal, mainline Protestant, and Roman Catholic clergy to help them with their preaching from a spiritual point of view as well as practical. So it's always great to have an excuse to come home. And I grew up in Stillwater, but my first job out of college was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And to move out to Utah for me was fulfilling a dream so that I could live in the mountains and hike as much as I could. And hike I did every chance I got. I hit the trails. So one time I headed to a park for a day hike, a trail that I hadn't been on before in the Uinta Mountain Range outside of Salt Lake, and it took about 90 minutes just to get to the park. And I was annoyed with myself because I had left home later than I wanted. And then once I got to the park, I still had this really long drive up bumpy, long dirt roads to get way up there. So by the time I actually got there, got out of my car, put on my hiking boots, hoisted on my pack, it was already close to lunchtime. But the day was gorgeous. I was up at about 12,000 feet, and I was determined to enjoy whatever hiking time I had left. So with enthusiasm, I set off down the trail. However, like many remote trails in the Uintas, the trail was not maintained. So after I had been in for 20, 30 minutes, it petered out into forest. So now, supremely annoyed that all of my effort for a hiking day had come to naught, I decided, well, at least I can enjoy my lunch. Look around. Oh, there's this wonderful, perfect log that I can go sit on. So I wander over there, and the whole mountain range is at my feet. I eat a leisurely lunch. It's quite lovely. And then there's nothing left to do except go back. So I stood up and put on my pack, and then I thought, where's the trail again? Now, at this point, you need to know, I have no sense of direction. Where the sun sets, my gut tells me that's north. So in addition to having no sense of direction, I had set out only for a day hike. So I had lunch, water, sunscreen, trail map, Swiss Army knife, ready for anything, right? What I did not have was a compass or any kind of emergency gear like a sleeping bag were I to be stranded overnight at 12,000 feet. And in addition, no cell phone, because it was a decade before they'd even been invented. No one in the world knew where I was. And I was in such a remote location that even if somebody had stumbled across my empty car, it might be days or weeks. I was there midweek. And so who knows when somebody would even come across my car. Yeah. So you may now be making the obvious parallel between me and a bunch of really foolish bridesmaids. None of us was prepared. They were not prepared for a delayed bridegroom. I was not prepared to get lost. The bridesmaids started out with a reasonable amount of oil, enough for their lamps to burn until the bridegroom was supposed to arrive. I set out with the reasonable equipment for a simple day hike. So if all had gone according to plan, none of us would have had our foolishness exposed. If I hadn't gotten lost, the equipment I had was just the right amount, because every hiker knows to carry extra weight is foolish. If the bridegroom had arrived when he was supposed to, the amount of oil the women had was the right amount, and the other five women who brought extra oil would have looked foolish for having been overprepared. But it didn't go according to plan. The bridegroom was delayed, and I didn't know where the trail was. The moment the bridegroom's arrival was announced, and the moment I realized I was lost, were the moments our reasonable, sensible plans to bring just enough, just as much as necessary, were exposed for their folly. So what did we do? We compensated. The bridesmaids without oil asked the ones with extra oil to share. But the wise ones refused and sent the foolish ones on their way to try to find somebody who would sell them some oil in the middle of the night. I took some deep breaths, stood still, scanned the area, and I decided on the direction I was certain the trail was. So I took a few steps and turned around to keep track of where I'd been, over and over, turning around every few steps. The bridesmaids, having found a merchant willing to sell them some oil in the night, they returned, ready to greet the bridegroom. But instead, they found they had missed their chance. The door was shut. When they banged on the door for entry, the bridegroom said he didn't even know who they were. Ouch! Really not what they were expecting to hear. I take four steps through heavy forest, turn around. Five steps, turn around. 15, 20 minutes go by. Four steps, turn around. But this time I pause. I'm in a place where the trees have thinned slightly, and across the distance, I see an unusually shaped boulder I had noticed on my way in. So at that moment, I knew where the trail was, but the gravity of my situation and the risk I had taken crashed in on me. As glad as I was now to know where the trail was, the truly terrifying thing was the direction I had chosen to look for the trail was 90 degrees the wrong direction. I had chosen the wrong way, which compounded the risk. The accumulation of one foolish decision after another wasn't real to me until that moment, and the electrical current of fear, terror, that jolted through my body nearly caused me to lose my lunch. Getting lost in the mountains and this parable remind us in stark and unavoidable terms that we don't like to hear, that we have choices to make, and they have really serious consequences. I was saved, if you will, only because I turned around. I kept turning and turning, turning around until I knew not just where the trail was, I knew in my heart the risk I had taken and the truth of my own mortality. And it was only then that I changed direction. And one of those was that I never hiked alone in remote areas again. Likewise, the ultimate mistake of the foolish women was not to have turned around, not to have changed direction, not to have changed their hearts. Because you see, the original mistake the foolish women and I made was not in miscalculating the measure of materials we needed to bring along. It was our half-heartedness to take the risks we were taking. We made our mistakes as soon as we wondered how much was the minimum necessary and what could we get away with. Because you and I, fellow followers of Christ, have a choice to make. Will we prepare our whole selves for Christ so that we're prepared whenever he shows up and wherever he shows up? We can choose to prepare ourselves with what seems reasonable and sensible and just enough. But this parable is really hard because it says if we guess wrong, we might not be ready. We can hedge our bets and then show up too late and find the door shut, the way in blocked. Ouch. The foolish women made their mistake in their unwillingness to bring everything they had. Maybe they felt it was too expensive to buy the extra oil unless they knew it would be needed. Maybe they felt their time was too precious to make an extra trip to the market. Regardless, they were only willing to give to the bridegroom the bare minimum necessary, and they were not willing to give the bridegroom everything they had, all they were, their whole selves. And that is why the wise bridesmaids didn't share their oil with them. It's not because they were selfish. It's because they knew it wouldn't make a difference. If the foolish ones didn't know by then that they had to turn around, to change, to give their whole selves and be all in, a little extra oil in their lamps wasn't going to make a whit of difference. The wise women knew that what the foolish women needed wasn't more oil. It was a change of direction, a change of heart, a willingness to take the risks to follow Jesus wherever he went. And a change of heart was not something the wise women had the power to give. We need to turn, to change our hearts, to be all in, because this world is really dark right now, and it needs the light of Christ. Climate change, Hurricane Harvey, let me tell you, our hideous civil discourse, promoting the value and dignity of some people over and against others. Holy cow, no one knows how to fix this. And the world offers us plenty of sensible, reasonable choices to protect our own interests before we consider the interests of others. There are plenty of suggestions to give just enough so that it doesn't really cost us anything. But as followers of Christ, that's not what we do. It doesn't work that way for us. To follow Christ is not about defending our interests. To follow Christ means to give away our interests for the sake of the other. We may not know how to fix these tremendous problems we have, but we do know that Christ never shies away from showing up in the dark. As those who carry his light, we need to be alert to notice his arrival with our lamps trimmed, carrying every flask of oil we have. If we're only going to be half-hearted and carry a dim light of God's generosity or hope or faith or grace, into the midst of our human folly. The parable is pretty clear that there will be spiritual and human consequences. Now is the time to prepare our whole selves and hearts, minds, spirits to meet the bridegroom. Now is the time to reconcile that to be a follower of Christ is to take risks and to be willing wholeheartedly to do so. So where do we even start? Well, we start by taking stock. What do we have to give? Are we foolish and half-hearted, willing to give what seems reasonable? Or are we wise, ready to follow him with our whole hearts and to give it all? Are we prepared to carry the extra flasks of oil to keep that lamp burning? Are we prepared to meet the bridegroom when he arrives in the dark and follow him with lamps blazing?